Amen. My heart's heavy for somebody this morning, for you that are here that need the Lord and need help. I know how you feel. I know what it feels like to walk into a church and you don't know everybody and you're sort of nervous and you think people staring at you and everything. And don't you feel like that this morning? Don't you feel like that? You feel like this is the Lord's house. And we're all here for help. We're all here. It's like a hospital. It's like a hospital. And everybody needs help. Everybody's having a hard time one way or the other. And we're all here this morning on level ground, sinners that need help from the Lord. And I want to try to give you that this morning. Take your Bible and open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. And I want to read you a verse of scripture that I've quoted and read many times over the years. And I want to give you a thought this morning about our prayers being answered. Jeremiah 33, and look at verse number 3, please. Jeremiah 33, verse number 3. The Lord told him, he said, call. It's like you call somebody on your phone or something. The Lord wants you to call him. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You don't have to turn to these, but the Bible also says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yep.
The Bible also says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. Now, in the Bible, we are taught, and by church history, we are taught, that don't mean just ask and say, Lord, I want this, that, and it'll happen overnight. It means keep on asking. We're taught over and over in the Bible to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking. If you don't answer, knock again. Don't answer, knock again, because he's home. And the Bible talks a lot about that continual asking. The Bible talks about Jacob back in the Old Testament, when the Bible said he wrestled with this angel. And he was wrestling with this angel, and the angel said, look, you got to let me go. I got to go back to heaven. And he said, I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. So the Bible teaches all the way through that if, give me monitors down on this one, brother. The Bible teaches all the way through that if you will hang in there and not give up and keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying, that your prayers are heard by God and God will answer you. The old folks used to sing this little song, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things impossible, and he knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. Now, I want to preach this morning on the subject would be, in his time, in his way, he'll answer you. In his time, in his way, he'll answer you. And I'd like to be an encouragement to every saint of God here this morning who has prayed and prayed and prayed, and it seems like the answer has never going to come. And it's discouraging sometimes. And you feel like maybe even giving up. You think, Lord, I've prayed for this for years, and it even seems worse sometimes. Well, let me encourage you this morning. The old songs are full of words like these. Keep on praying till the light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps his promises. His word is true. Just keep on praying till the light breaks through. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach on that this morning. In Luke chapter 18, the Bible said there's a man one time, he went to an unjust judge. Man, it wasn't even right. Old crook. And the man said, look, you got to help me. And the unjust judge finally give that man what he wanted. Bible talks about a man who went to a friend of his in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And the guy said, man, I can't lend you. I'm in the bed, half asleep, and here you are out here knocking on the door. The Bible said, because of his importunity, that means not giving up and not quitting praying, that man finally give up and give him what he needed. The Bible talks about this woman, and this woman called on the Lord, or called on her her boss man, so to speak, and she kept on and on and on and on. And finally, the Lord, he said, just give her what she wants. And the Bible is through full of illustrations of people who just kept on praying, and finally the answer come. Let me tell you something this morning. You are not wasting your time praying. Now, you can be wasting your time doing a lot of other things, but you are not wasting your time praying. I heard about a great preacher years ago, and he used to pray, and he'd say, Lord, I want you to use me, and God, give me a worldwide ministry that'll touch people all over the world. And he went out in the country one day on a rainy day, and it was cold and rainy, and he went out there, and he got down in his car, and he said, Lord, I want you to give me a worldwide ministry that'll touch millions of people. God, I'm sincere. I'm not praying it for vanity or self-glory. God, just, I beg you, use me, Lord, all over the world. And you know what? He sincerely prayed that prayer and prayed that prayer, and he wound up with TB. That tuberculosis, you don't hear much about it anymore, but years ago, when a person got TB, it was awful. I remember Mom talking about it when I was little. And, they quarantined you. They'd build them a little house out behind the regular house, and that person with TB would have to live in that little house and not even with the rest of the family. Because he was afraid somehow or another they would infect them. That's the way they did out in the country. And he lost one of his lungs. Had to have one of his lungs took out. And then he finally lost a couple of his ribs, and his body was deteriorating. And he's had surgery after surgery after surgery after surgery. And listen to me. He got down one day and said, Lord, I can't believe this. I prayed all them years that you'd use me. I thought I was going to have a worldwide ministry. Here I am laying here with one of my lungs gone and my body, I'm dying. God, please, God, what's wrong? God, you didn't hear me all them times I prayed. And he sat down and he started writing, and he wrote down some of his thoughts. And as he wrote down some of his thoughts, he just kept writing because he couldn't do nothing else. Lay in the bed all the time, and he kept writing and kept writing, and somebody came to visit him, and they picked it up, and he said, man, did you write this? He said, yeah, and he said, that's good. They said, that's like a book. You should publish that. He said, you think? And so they put his writings together and published a book. And that book went all over the place, and people started reading it. He wrote another book. He became a famous author before he died. One of his books sold 200,000 copies, Christian books, all over the world. And you see, before he died, he realized God did answer his prayers. He did have a worldwide ministry. He did touch people. It didn't happen the way he wanted. It didn't happen when he wanted. But I'm telling you, the old song says, keep on praying till the light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth I want to get in your head this morning is, God don't always do it when you want. God don't always do it the way you want. But I'm telling you, if you'll keep on praying, your prayers will be answered. Isn't that good news? Say amen. I'm telling you this morning, there is a remedy. There is an answer. There is a reason to just keep on praying. Keep on praying till the light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. Just keep on praying. His word is true. Just keep on praying till the light breaks through. You know that old Philip over there in the book of Acts? Bible said that Philip, the evangelist, was in Samaria, and he is having this great revival. Great revival. I mean, the Lord blessed, and he was preaching to thousands of people, and people's getting saved, and all of a sudden the Lord talked to him. He said, Philip, I want you to rise and go down there to Gaza. And Philip said, Gaza? That's an old desert? Who in the world? I'm an evangelist. We're having revival. Glory to God. I mean, the Lord's blessing. Woo! Hallelujah. I can't. And the Lord said, go down there to Gaza. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord took Philip from preaching to that crowd and that revival in Samaria and sent him way over here on the backside of nowhere, where one man was coming down the road in a chariot. And this one man, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible calls him. And Philip come up to him, and he looked there, and there's a man reading the Bible, reading the Old Testament in a chariot. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, I sure don't. I wish somebody explained this to me. He's reading Isaiah the prophet. And old Philip said, well, I can do it. He said, come on up and have a seat.
Philip went up, had a seat with him. He said, look here, that's Jesus. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes we're healed. And all that's Jesus Christ, buddy. He said, really? You telling me the truth? He said, yes, you can go to heaven when you die. Yes. And I'm telling you, boy, he preached to that little boy. They stopped the chariot, went down there. He got saved, if you got a King James Bible. And he got baptized in the water. And he got back out of there. And he went on his way rejoicing. And that old boy went back to Ethiopia. And no doubt God used him to start no telling what in Ethiopia. You know what our problem is? Our problem is we pray, Lord, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then we figure out this plan, how he's going to do it. And God don't always do things according to our plan. God don't always do things according to the way we think things should be worked out. God don't always say, oh, well, he don't always do things just da, 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 da. God may have a completely different plan that you don't even realize. I'm telling you, he always comes through. If you will dedicate your life to God and you will honor the Lord, everybody listen up, are you listening? If you will honor God and you will pray and fast, the Lord will hear your prayer and eventually give you what you need. I heard about a lady named Mrs. Ogden. And Miss Ogden prayed. She said, Lord, she could sing really good. She said, Lord, give me a singing ministry that'll touch the world. And she was singing in churches and conferences all over. This has been 50 years ago probably. And she was singing all over the place. And she got pretty well known. And people started contacting her. And finally she signed a contract, sure enough, to go worldwide. And she signed this contract to go worldwide. And she's going to make a tour and start going. And right before she left to go on her tour, her dad came down extremely ill. Mama's already dead. Back then they didn't have stuff to take care of people like, they didn't just stick them somewhere. She had to take care of her daddy. She canceled her singing engagements, canceled her tour, said, I can't make it. And she sat at home and took care of her ailing father. And she would sit and say, God, I don't understand this. I prayed for years that you'd let me sing around the world, and now I don't get to, God. What? And you know how we normally do. The devil did this, the devil ain't that. Listen, I'm going to tell you what that woman did. She kept telling her daddy every day, and she faithfully stayed there for God. Let me tell you something, people. Y'all listen to me. Listen, if you're in a position where you think, I just can't do what God wants me to do, and I had these big dreams, and nothing ain't happening, you just be faithful right where you are and keep praying. Sit still. Don't make no moves. You just sit right still and watch God to bring the light through on you one of these days. Amen. You know what she done? She kept praying. And she said, God, I'm not getting mad at you, but I thought you was going to give me a worldwide singing ministry. And she sat one day, and she said, Lord, I can't go out and touch the world by my singing, but I can just brighten this little room where Daddy is, and I can just brighten the little corner where I am. And that woman sat down and wrote that song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Brighten the corner where you are. Some soul from harbor you may guide from afar. Brighten the corner where you are. And son, that song went all over this world. She had a ministry. You say, why did God do it that way? Because if she'd have went the way she wanted to, she would have never knew the sorrow and the heartache to have been able to write a song like that that would have touched millions. I'm saying to you, a person's got to hurt sometimes and have difficulties in life so that we can know how to touch other people's lives. Lord, in mercy, I wish you could feel what I feel when I'm saying this. There's so many things running through my mind when I'm talking to y'all right now. People just, listen, people, God's still on his throne. God is not dead. God knows what he's doing. He knows your situation this morning, and hallelujah, he's not done with you. The Lord will answer. Keep on praying till the light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. His promises are true. Just keep on praying till the light breaks through. See, if she'd have went on tour, she'd have wrote some good songs, but not brighten the corner where you are. Years ago,
When I first had one of my first really, really tough battles, I was about 24, 25 years old. And I remember all of a sudden all my dreams got shattered. I thought, God, why does this have to happen? Whoa! You know, you have all these plans. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. It's going to happen. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to travel and you're going to do this and that. And then all of a sudden, the whole bottom falls out of everything. And you think, God, have you left me? God, are you not with me no more? God, are you going to leave me? God, am I done? God, is it over? And you start thinking, you hurt. You hurt. Did you know that God uses hurting people? That's part of the reason why we have to hurt in this world, so we can help other people who are hurt. If we never had no problems and everything was great, we'd walk around with our nose in the air and wouldn't help people. Why, we'd be so stuck up and self-righteous, we wouldn't be worth a dime. But brother, let me tell you, since I went through my problems, I can sit down with a person and hold their hand and pray with them, and I can say, I know how you feel. It does hurt. It hurts to lose a loved one. It hurts to lose it. It hurts when you're going through hard times, when your hearts break. You can help somebody with a broken heart if you've had your heart broke. You can help somebody who has no money if you've been broke yourself. You can help somebody who's had family problems if you've had family problems. You can help somebody that's going into surgery if you've had surgery. That don't mean God's left you. God lets us go through things as He works all things together for our good in our lives. You got any rivers you think's uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things impossible. And He knows 1,000 ways to make a way for you. Yeah. You know, I was listening, thinking about the sermon that I preached at the youth rally that y'all helped me with on addictions. And how, I don't know how that come about, but I know way back in December and January, I had that strong in my heart, preach on addictions. And that was before Whitney Houston died. And that was before all this, and we heard all these statistics and stuff. And I'm telling you, that message has already went, I don't know how many states it's been to, Florida, up north, up Arizona, where Indiana they're sending them to, all over the country right now. Listen to this. Preacher called me the other day. He said, Brother Danny, he said that sermon you preached on addictions, Percocets, Oxycontin, Oxycodone, all the drugs, all he said, this place up here is eat up with it. You know how I know it's bad? Because everybody I talked to said, this is the worst place in the world for it. It don't matter where they're from, they all say it's worse there than anywhere. That's everywhere. And well, I told that guy, I said, I'll be glad to if I can, brother. And he said, we had a scheduled a preacher to come and preach Tuesday night, and he couldn't come. And he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, I just wondered if you had Tuesday open. I said, I sure do. I'll be there by the grace of God. I couldn't do it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I can Tuesday. And listen, you know what? God's up there working all that stuff around. He knew the other preacher couldn't come. He knew. And listen, I don't even know this guy. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. We sent him a copy of it so they could put out some flyers like Sean made us, and he took that flyer that she made and he made copies of it and yesterday, you know what happened yesterday? He said, Brother Danny, I got something to tell you. I said, what? He said, we took our flyers on addictions like y'all did. He said, we just went out giving them out. He said, I went to McDonald's and he said, there's two ladies sitting there eating, and I gave them, I just walked up to them and I said, ma'am, do y'all know anybody that's addicted to drugs? And they said, they both just looked down and said, we are. And they took it. And they said, you see these ladies? They was from a rehab right down the road. And the director had taken McDonald's to the work. And there was 20 ladies at that McDonald's in a rehab. And they give every one of them one of them things. And the director said, she's going to bring them Tuesday night. I'm telling you tonight, bro. That just starts at a little old place like the fairground over here and birthed in our heart at a prayer meeting, an all-night prayer meeting. And God can use it to touch other parts of this world by His glory. I'm telling you, brother, God's still on His throne and He's still working. He's still working. I get phone calls all the time on a regular basis. Got one not long ago. He said, is this Danny Castle?
Yes, it is.
You don't know me, but I'm from so-and-so, Mississippi, and I'm going through this problem, and I heard you'd be home, and I wonder if you could help me. And then I look back and I think, all them times, them rough times, and I thought, this is crazy. God, why can't I have a normal life like everybody else? Why can't I just have just a normal life and family and be normal? God, why does it always have to be some big mess? And then I get a phone call like that and I think, you know what? The Lord needs a guinea pig sometimes. The Lord needs somebody that's been drugged through the world. The Lord needs somebody that's had problems. So, because there's so many people out there having problems. I'm telling you what, people. Lord have mercy. John Milton, who was blind, and his blindness God used to help him write Paradise Lost. John Bunyan was put in the Bedford jail for preaching. And John Bunyan sat in that dungeon, brother, in Bedford. And he sat down there thinking, my life, I mean, he wasn't a, da, 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 here's the great evangelist, let's put him, he's on TV. And brother, he is in jail with nothing. And while he was there, he took the cartons, the milk cartons, and began to scribble notes on it, and wrote Pilgrim's Progress, second only to the Bible, and the greatest book that's ever been on this earth. You know, while he was down there in jail, you know, you may be going through a hard time and you think, Lord's left me and everything. Listen, you may be in the best shape you've ever been in. God's working where you can't see. God's moving where you don't understand. You just, hallelujah, throw up your hands and keep worshiping Him and honor Him and do right. And ain't no telling what God's life will do in your life. Vance Havner was a great preacher. And old Vance Havner said, he got on a train one time. That's when evangelists had to travel by train. And he had to be in Pittsburgh to preach that night. Got somewhere down there in, I don't know, West Virginia or somewhere. And he was going up north. They said, he got on there and he said, look, I've got to be in Pittsburgh to preach tonight. They said, that's impossible. It can't be done. There is no way this train is going to have you in Pittsburgh with time to church tonight. And he said, I sat down. He said, I was so discouraged. I think, God, I thought you was in this. Lord, please. Is there any way you can help me? And he said, they stopped at the next time and the Secretary of War, the United States government, the Secretary of War got on. And that guy got on there and he had his entourage with him and everything. And they said, get us to Washington, D.C. He said, yes, sir. He said, put this thing in overdrive. Don't stop no more. Put this thing in Washington, D.C. by dinner time. And boy, I tell you, that train took off and all that. And there was all saying, we're gonna make it there and then we'll be at Pittsburgh. And Vance Havner said, he just started laughing. And boy, he said, hallelujah. And they said, what you laughing at? He said, them conductors up there thinking, the Secretary of War, they all think that we're going here to get him to Washington, D.C. We ain't going there to get him to Washington, D.C. But we're going to get a Baptist preacher to Pittsburgh so he can preach tonight in revival. I've had the Lord do stuff like that for me. They think it's for them, but He's doing it for me. Amen. I'm telling you, our Heavenly Father, I have a Heavenly Father. And of course put his eyes out and blew his face off and killed all the nerves in his face and mouth and hands and everywhere. Like killed him. And he could feel nothing from here up. Hand gone, everything. And they said his greatest heartache was he couldn't read the Bible. He said, I can't read the Bible. And they said, well, we'll get you one like for blind people. It's got Braille, got that raised type on it. You learn it. And they got him one and he couldn't feel it. The nerve endings wasn't strong enough in his fingers. And they said, you'll never read the Bible again. And he started crying. And he said, if I can't read the Bible again, will you just hold it over here so I can kiss it? And they took the Bible over and he went, kissed it like that. And they started taking it away. He's blind. He said, wait a minute. I felt something. And he had nerve on in his tongue that he could feel. And he said he learned how to run his tongue over them words and read the Bible through four times with his tongue on those letters. You know why God lets stuff like that happen to people? To help all of you people in here. There ain't nothing wrong with your eyes. Ain't nothing wrong with your hand to make you want to read your Bible in hell. See, when we have hard times and stuff, I mean, I can see people all over this church this morning. I know some of you is having it rough. I know some of you are barely making it in your marriage. I know somebody's barely making it financially and can't hardly pay your bills. I know there's people here this morning, you say, Brother Danny, I'm a sinner. I'm just a sinner and I'm sorry and wicked and I feel so awful in church and God don't want... Let me tell you this morning, there's a God in heaven that loves you and cares about you. He wants to help you this morning. He wants to help you. You say, well, how's my circumstances ever going to turn out good when you turn them to the Lord? These women, they said back in the war, these women were on an island and all their husbands got lost out to sea and they couldn't find them. And the ship was lost. It was so foggy and dark they couldn't find the island to get back in. And this one woman, she's praying and praying and praying for her husband and he was gone and she is crying and she's praying, oh God, please bring him home. Please bring him home. Her and the kids. And lo and behold, they couldn't get in. They couldn't even see the island. It's pitch black dark. And that night, their house burned. House burned, caught on fire. And she was just, have you ever felt like that? She just sat out there and she thought, what in the world is going on? My whole world has fell apart. My husband's lost at sea. My kids are homeless. Mine, they're orphaned. I don't have a home to live in. We've lost everything. And early that morning, about that time, somebody said, look! And the ship come in and docked. And they were jumping off there and the men were jumping off and hugging their wives and family. And sure enough, here come her husband down the aisle and they hugged and they said, honey, I'm so glad to see you. It sure is wonderful to see you. And she said, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And they hugged him. She said, honey, I got some terrible news. Our house burned last night. You know what he said? He said, that's not good. That's not bad news at all. That's good. He said, it was that fire that we saw. That's the only way we made it back in, was we followed that fire. And see, what we think is bad ain't always bad, folks. It's God working in ways that we don't know. Just what that song said. You know what we got to do? Trust Him. You know where we mess up? When we don't trust Him. We got to figure it out. We're going to figure out the difference. Just trust Him. That's one of the benefits you get of being a Christian. You can trust the Lord with your life. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things impossible. And He knows 1,000 ways to make a way for you. He may not do it when you want, may not do it how you want, but He'll do it.